We did discussing the 9 levels of meditation. Here we go. Shibani, Jemba Shuchen de Kini, Nikten de Jokpate. So the fourth stage, the fourth level of meditation is called maintaining the mind tightly on the object. Jemba Shuchen de Kini, your ability to hold the object has become quite powerful. Nikten de Jokpa. And thus we say that you are now maintaining the mind tightly on the object. Dine mikten shor misipe. From this point on, from the opening of the fourth level, it's not possible that you will lose the object completely. Alright? You won't fully leave the object and think about lunch. Alright? You will always have the object slightly in mind. Okay? And this is what differentiates step 4 from step the first 3. At the first 3, you can still lose the object completely. At number 4, you won't be losing the object completely. But there's an equal strength to the dullness and the restlessness that you feel as you are on the object. All right, so dullness and restlessness are attacking you strongly at this point. So you will have to use the antidotes for dullness and restlessness. Level 3 and level 4 are achieved through a strength of the ability to hold on to the object. We call it awareness, right? Dine narsan be mitar temba narsan ba'am. Narsan it's a rare Tibetan word. If you see it up there, narsan somewhere. So dine narsan ba means full grown. It refers to people who are grown up. So at this point, he says your ability to hold the object is grown up. You're not like a kid anymore. You have a grown up ability to hold the object. Narsan. Narsan ba'am. Or we can say, chambeto dzobayin. Or we can say, your capacity to hold the object is complete or full in its power. Ngapani. So now we're on to the fifth level of meditation called controlling the mind. And again, the great blessing of this presentation of 11 levels of meditation is that you know where you are. At any given day, you know how far you are along in your own meditation. You can say, I've reached level 4, I've reached level 3. If it's still possible for you to start thinking about lunch during a meditation session, you haven't gotten to level 4. Right? Okay. Ngapani. Shive kapsu sem nam du du chakpe. Dear chingwa chama nyen chewe, sheshin to tengene. Shive kapsu, during the fourth stage, the previous stage, sem nam du chakpa, you were able to draw the mind in, right? Drawing the mind in is a concept in Buddhist study of the mind. It happens, for example, when you fall asleep. When you fall asleep, the mind withdraws, pratyahara, right? Your mind withdraws from the outer objects of sense and gathers into the inside of the mind. So at stage 4, there's that same gathering in of the mind. It's a pratyahara, withdrawal of the mind from the outside world. But dudchakpa means you go too far. You go too far in withdrawing the mind from the outer world. Which makes it very fertile ground for subtle dullness. Right? You overdo the withdrawal of the mind from outer objects, and that makes you very susceptible to subtle dullness. Sheshin to tenke. So what state of mind do you think you would have to crank up at level 5? Yeah, the watcher mind, Shishin, okay? You would have to crank up the part of your mind which is watching the rest of your mind. Okay? That has to be cranked up. You no longer have to worry about what we call awareness or the ability to hold on to the object. That's fully developed, that's grown up. But now, because you're on the object and you're tending to move too much to the inside, too much withdrawal, there's a danger of subtle dullness. And then you have to put watchdog mind at the back of your head to watch out for subtle dullness. Te chara chete ting zing ki yun den san ne sam seng du. You have to set, chara is a very rare word, those of you who care about Tibetan. Chara, say chara. Sopa.
Sopa.
These are synonyms. Okay? Sopa means spy, like a military spy. The great Geshe name is Sopa, okay? I mean, Tibetans always wince when people call him Geshe Sopa. Or Sopa Rinpoche, you know? They're like, he's not a spy. It's Sopa, okay? So that's Sopa, which is patience. Sopa means a spy. Chara is an old word for a sopa. Alright, so you should put the spy mind, spy camera, going in the back of your head. This area is under surveillance. I saw these signs recently. Okay. Chara chete. It's cheaper than buying cameras. You just put the signs up. De chara chete. We did that in the dime business. Tingin zinki yin den san ne sen seng te. So you think about and you do seng te. Do you remember seng te from the other day? What's seng te? You uplift the mind, okay? You uplift the mind by thinking of something cool. Alright? I think about the last award I got and I, you know, like everybody has their own seng te. Something that would make you kind of perk up. Something nice that will make your mind perk up. What is the... He suggests thinking about how cool it's going to be when you become a great meditator. Right? If you need to perk up your mind a little bit, seng te, by thinking about how cool it's going to be when you become a good meditator. Dīdāṅ nāma nīlā chīṅgā rākā jūṅ mīn jūṅgī kēyā. There's a distinction between the way you remember the, how many, nine levels. The way you remember the difference between the nine levels, and in fact it's the question on your homework, is what's the difference between this level and the last one? You see, just give yourself a self-exam. If you know why each level is different from the one before, then that defines the levels, you see? So he says, on level 5, there's a difference between the 3 and 4 and 5, because at 5, you don't get obvious dullness and restlessness, right? You don't get obvious forms of that. Which implies that at the previous two levels, you did, okay? And that's what distinguishes level, what are we on? 5 from 4 and 3, alright? Now, trupa, level number 6. Ngāpe kapsu sem seng te tarpe genki dir gupa tarma nyen che. At the 5th level, you were perking up the mind, and you over-perked. Okay? That, remember? Everything is going to go too far and then you turn back, right? If that's constant, and don't feel bad about it, okay? You have to make a correction, you apply a correction. Perk my mind up. Think about something good that's happening in my life. And I hope I have a good job tomorrow, and I hope I... And then you go too far, and then you have to bring it back, okay? It's a constant correction process. And then there will be a danger of... You perked up too much. Subtle restlessness. Okay? You over-perk. And you will get subtle restlessness. Gupa charma kepa na. If you get subtle restlessness, de rigpe sheshin tok den kete. First, before you fix it, you have to detect it. right? With the spy mic, right? With the spy camera. Gopa Tamalang Kintene Gopga. Then you can stop it by considering how bad it's going to mess up your meditation. Right? Probably it will lead to gross restlessness, which means that you'll just get off the object and you'll drop down below level number 4. Okay? Alright? If subtle restlessness gets out of hand at level 6, there's a danger you could flunk back to third grade. Alright? Okay. Goku. Just thinking about that is supposed to be enough to bring you down. Okay. And then you don't have subtle restlessness anymore. Alright. Naman le dikam chima chame nyen chewa mebe kiya. What distinguishes number 6 from number 5 is that you no longer have a problem of subtle dullness. Right? Okay. Now you have a little problem with subtle restlessness because you overcorrected for subtle dullness. Okay. Napa don drupa ni sheshin gito gi drup. The power of the mind which accomplishes 5th and 6th levels is the watchdog mind. Okay. Chara or sopa. Okay. Dine sheshin gito zopar sun. And at the 6th level, we can say that the power of your watchdog mind is consummated. It's the, you now possess a fully empowered ability to watch the rest of your mind. Okay? At the 7th level, your both your awareness or your ability to stay on the object and your watchdog mind are fully completed, right? By then, by the 7th level, those two abilities, the ability to hang on to the object and the ability to watch yourself to see whether you're getting dull or restless, okay? These two positive states of mind are already developed to their fullest form. And therefore, it's difficult to get chingwa or gopa. It's difficult at this point to get dullness or to get restlessness. At 7, it's difficult to get them. Dene chindutor kene chinga chama la ang kindutene pong pong kam tu che go. Now you have to make some kind of subtle efforts. More, you have to keep trying to perfect things. Right? The power at this point is called effort. You have to make further efforts. It's like you're pretty good at a yoga pose, but you want to perfect it. And it almost takes more energy to perfect a yoga pose that you're good at than it does to learn it in the first place, right? You have to be in a state of mind where even a very brief, subtle form of dullness or restlessness is not acceptable to you. Okay? It's like a person who got really good at yoga. You know, so you can do a handstand. But then you decide that being shaky in a handstand or moving in a handstand is unacceptable. You want to be perfect. So this is also applies to your ability to overcome subtle and gross forms of dullness and restlessness. Any hint of restlessness, any hint of dullness is no longer acceptable to you. The difference between this and the previous level is that you no longer have any serious concern that you might fall into subtle or gross dullness or restlessness. Okay? That's a mahingak, right? What's mahingak? It implies that you might have some less serious concern, right? You have no serious concern that they might come back. Even though at this point there's no major danger of falling into either subtle restlessness or dullness, Nonetheless, you still must make some considerable effort to prevent the two. You're still making considerable effort to prevent the two, all right? At this point, number 7. 나바나 주베카 친구 기출 내배 토바 이어나 준베카 들 친구 청양 청주기 각 투바. At the 5th and 6th levels, you can have some worries that dullness and restlessness are going to attack you. Alright? You can have some worries. But la dumbeka dir chinga chungyang sunjurki kak tupa. At the 7th level, if you just make a little bit of effort, you can stop them. Alright? With a slight effort, you can stop them. By the 7th level. Kak tupa chinga kitsur padu. So there will be no major interruptions of the flow of meditation by this point, by dullness and restlessness. By the 7th level, there are no longer any serious interruptions. Semne sumbane dunbe parki ngapa dir tingen zin she cheyang chinga soki padu chepe chechin jokpe yijegi kapyen. They define everything from the 3rd level up to the 5th level as being, you are in a state of meditative concentration. Mostly the majority of time you're in a state of meditative concentration. But you will be interrupted constantly by dullness and restlessness, okay? So you are in meditation. You are in deep meditation, but from the 3rd level up to the 7th level, up through the 7th level, it feels like you're getting interrupted all the time, right? So the feeling inside the mind as if is like, I don't know. It's like you're working on your computer, but somebody's interrupting you from time to time. All right, like you have a flow of concentration on your computer. You're writing a translation, okay? And then people from time to time, somebody interrupts you. So the feeling inside the mind from the 3rd level to the 7th level is one of being interrupted from time to time, by dullness or restlessness. Gebe kapsuni. So now we're up to stage 8, right? At level 8, Tobar Nyambo Chen Zinki Tsurwa Chimse Tena Tungi Ring Chinga Chano on Mepa. Okay? At the beginning of the session, you exert a little effort to shut down any subtle dullness or subtle restlessness, right? At the beginning of the session, of the meditation session, you have to put forth a little effort to shut down any form of dullness or restlessness. And then, tungi ring means for the length of the whole session, they don't come back. So it takes some effort at the beginning to correct the car to the middle, and then you just let go of the steering wheel. And it's gone cruise control. All right, and there's no more effort needed to stay there. You put up a little bit of effort forth at the beginning of at level 8, and then the whole session goes smooth without any dullness or restlessness. He says you can compare all of the levels up to here as being, they are changes in the strength of your enemy. Right? They are changes in the strength of your enemy. Mm-hmm. So in the 1st levels, the draw is topped. The enemy is strong. Okay? In the 1st few levels, the enemy is a strong enemy. A word, you know, someone to worry about, right? Tabga Sheikh, then in the middle you feel like the enemy has been slightly, what do you call that? Compromised or weakened. There's another word. Not subdued yet. They're halfway, like they lost their tanks. And people. There's a military word, isn't there? They've been compromised. I guess compromised. Their forces have been compromised somewhat. Neutralized. In the middle stages of meditation. And then at the end, then at the end they're like, you know, they threw away their guns and they have their hands up. And you can still call them enemy, but they don't have any power to hurt you, right? Okay? The power of the dullness and the power of the restlessness have been lost. They can't touch you anymore. They become, there's a word. There's kind of a hard word. Impotent. Yeah. They have become impotent. They can't hurt you. So, from the eighth level on, what state of mind do you think becomes unnecessary? Yeah, okay. Watchfulness is no longer necessary. Because watchfulness's job was to ring the alarm. Nowadays they have this alarm on the car. If you get too close to the curb, where you're backing up and there's something within 2 feet, an alarm button goes off. So that can be shut off. It's not gonna happen. You won't get close to the garbage cans. There's not gonna be any, there's no chance for any collision to come. You're not gonna fall into subtle dullness or subtle restlessness. And that's the point at which they say, Lurab Gomra. What's that? Yeah, the best meditation is the best letting go. That's the point at which you can say, okay, just draw it. The thing's off. Semne gebe kap dir tuwa chunse tena tungi ring chinga soki padu chepa mepe chepa mepa jupe yi jupe yi cheki kabiyan. This is called the level at which you are in the flow and there's no more interruptions, okay? So there's not a possibility of interrupt. Like you're just working on your computer and there's no possibility of someone calling you on the phone or some, you know, nobody's gonna talk to you. You're on a flow and there will be no interruptions. The feeling of the meditation at that point is like, you know, nobody's gonna be interrupting me for the next half hour. I really like airplanes. I love airplanes. They say it's a 12-hour flight, there's not, I'm like, you know, because they just bring you orange juice and you just work. And there's not gonna be any phone calls or interruptions and like that. Then they started to put phones in the business class and my boss found out and, yin che ki kap yin. The seventh and eighth levels are said to be achieved through some amount of effort. You do have to put forth some amount of effort to cruise at that point. Gupani Batsun Dantawa Jupate, which gives you a clue about the ninth level, which is what? Effortless. Totally effortless. I like to say, you know, you get, you're like, what do you call it? What do you call it when a child is like? Yeah, you fidget. You fidget down on your cushion, you know? You do this chicken, I don't know, it must be a dance. And then you sit down and you like, you know, in your neck, and you get your hand, and then you go like this, right? And then, boom, when the hands hit the knees, you're in. You're in your deep meditation. The hands hit the knees. You see, without even having to think, there isn't even the effort it takes to think I'm going to meditate. Or, let me collect my thoughts. You know, or let me watch my breath, or something like that. You don't need any of it. Your hands hit your knees, and you're there. And you're already there. It's a beautiful feeling, right? Deyang jebe katsu, yang yang jipa la tene dirbetu meba fungi dupa yin. What's happening, says Paboka Rinpoche, is that you have got so used to level 8 that it has become automatic. You're on autopilot because of the hours you spend at level 8. Jupa yinbe, tsawa chungse kyang ni gupa. You don't need the slightest effort to collect your thoughts or to calm your breath down or, you know, try to reach your object or anything like that. You just, your hands touch your knees and you're there. Katen changba chawa shiki dumba dumba tar. In the monastery, we're required to memorize hundreds and hundreds of pages of text. Okay, when you go to the debate ground, you can't take a book. I took a book one night and they laughed me out of the debate ground. Yeah. They said, no, you can't bring a book to the debate. You know, you have to know the book by heart. And then you can come, you know. So then you have to memorize the book. And then there's different ways of knowing a book by heart, right? You can say, what do you do? Punzog, gele, che. What was that again? Chewe. Okay. Not like that. They require that you know it as second nature. Okay, what else do you want? Like that. It has to be totally, what do you call it? Reflexive. It has to be a reflex. Like to pull out a quotation in a debate has to be reflex. No pausing. So Rinpoche, Paboka Rinpoche is comparing a person who's reached level 9 to a person who's memorized the text flawlessly and reflexively. They just spout it. They don't stop to think about it. Dumbatar thinking in the shilki jug means you just glide in. Shilki. You just glide. Danny, yeah, it's like silky, but it's shilky. Okay. Probably it's a loan word. Danny do some cheek bay. This is a single-pointed state of mind. Dasam. What's dapa? What's the? What's dapa? What's the come? Desire. What's the come? Desire realm. Okay, the lowest realm. There are three realms of existence. We are in the desire realm, which is so-called because people are mostly thinking about food or sex, okay? Most of people's efforts in this realm is directed towards food or sex. It's called the desire realm. Then there are higher realms. There are worlds that we don't see where there are, the beings are very happy temporarily, called form realm. They're very beautiful. It's like go to some expensive resort in Phoenix, right? And people are like walking around in nice clothes and jewelry, and all they have to worry about is, you know, is the limo going to be in front when I get out of the restaurant? And that's like a form realm. Then there's a formless realm where you don't even have a body anymore, and you're just hanging out in a blissful state of mind. And these are temporary paradises, okay? Each of those three realms is reached by a different state of mind. To get to the desire realm, you have to be doing emails most of the day. All right? In this life, then when you die, you will go to the desire realm. Okay? Because your mind will be busy. And that, when you die, in a state of mind where you've had email stuff all day for, you know, 10 years or something, if you suddenly get hit by a car, that will throw you into the desire realm. If you meditate most of the day, or you meditate a lot, or you're in a three-year retreat, you know, and you, I don't know, your compost toilet eats you, or something, I don't know. Okay, but anyway, it'll probably happen to somebody. Then Then you go to the former. You see, your mind goes to this Phoenix Resort state of being. Okay, it's temporary. We consider it an obstacle. But you feel very happy. Okay, that realm after you die can only be reached by a person who has spent most of their time meditating in this life. Okay, so the number of people in the world who go to that realm are. There's only a couple, okay. Then formless realm means they've been in meditation almost all day, in deep meditation. And then if they die, they go to a thing called the formless realm, okay? So the reason I'm mentioning that is that different levels of meditation, different depths of meditation are sometimes named by where you go if you suddenly die doing it, right? So desire realm, meditation means a meditation which was not so good, and if you died during it, you would be born in the desire realm. Form realm meditation means if you died doing it, you would end up in a form realm in your next life. So when I say form realm meditation, does that mean you're doing it in the form realm? No. It means you are in such a deep state of concentration that if you were to die that week, you would be reborn in a form. So you have to learn that. You have to know that. There are four form realm meditations. There are four formless realm meditations. That, why did it come up here? He said level 9 is a de sem tse chikpa. It's a de kam gisem. It's a desire realm state of mind which is single pointed. Right? It's a desire realm state of mind which is single pointed. To see emptiness directly, which is the purpose of this whole exercise, your mind must already be into form realm meditation. Sun, say santen. Tangbu. Nirdo. Micho. Me. It's a specific sliver of the meditational spectrum that you have to be in to see emptiness directly. Our whole exercise of meditating is to get our mind into that small sliver of the whole spectrum of meditation. And that, in that sliver, you're able to see emptiness directly. Okay? It happens to be the very, very first brushes of a form realm meditation. Okay? If you get to the point that you need to get to see emptiness directly, and you died suddenly in that moment, you would be born in a form realm. Okay? It's a samtenki, samten. Dumbo means the first form realm level. Okay? So I have a question for you. He just called, he says, Beni Dursen. He just called the 9th level of meditation a desire realm state of mind. Single pointed, but desire realm. Is it enough to see emptiness?
No.
So could it be shamatha?
No.
It's not. Okay? Level 9 is not enough. Okay? Level 9 is not the state of mind you need to see emptiness directly. It's not good enough. Okay. The point at which you put your palms on your knees and you're into deep meditation immediately, with no effort at all, is not good enough. Right? If you want to be depressed. Okay. Shine je tumba yin. Shine Jetumba. Jetumba means getting hot. Okay? It's approximate shamatha, but not real shamatha. It's like right up there close to shamatha. Jetumba means really, really close. But not the no cigar? Close but no cigar. Okay. Gupa di yonsu jibe toki du. You get to level 9 through a power called high familiarity at level 8. Okay, so by doing level 8 over and over again, you get to level 9. Dedaki dambu kap namto ngosembe nyamdan nike kap namto re nyasawe nyam sembe kap namto tanchebe nyam chung. Then he compares he's saying, as you pass through the 9 levels, you will get sort of a feeling. What's it feel like to pass through the 9 levels? Number one, in the first couple stages, you feel like you're just getting to know your enemy. Okay? You're just getting to know your enemy. You become able to tell you're having dullness. Okay? It's cool, right? Like, in the first part of your meditation career, the only accomplishment you can claim is that you know when you have dullness. Okay? Or you know when you're restless. That's all. And that's a big progress. That's big progress. To know you're distracted is big progress. Because before that, you were just distracted all the time and you had no idea. Right? So to recognize the enemy is the feeling of the first part of your meditation life. Okay? Second part, you feel like your distractions are cutting you some slack sometimes. Okay? Like they are relaxing from time to time. Your dullness and your restlessness are not attacking you actively all the time. Like, it seems like they're taking a break once in a while. That's the feeling of the second part of your meditation life. Third part. Then in the final stages of your meditation career, it feels as if the interruptions to your meditation have become exhausted. Okay? They're not just taking a break once in a while. They're too feeble to bother you anymore. They just seem to be like they're just like, what do you call it, senile or something. Your dullness gets senile. Okay. Dorna semne dambo dani panini ne gin ring tung yunla. He's gonna wrap up the 9 levels of meditation now. He's gonna wrap up the 9 levels of meditation by repeating how each level differs from the one before it. Okay? I said before, I think I made a mistake. I said how it differs from the previous two or something like that. It's not what the Tibetan said. We are going to review how each level differs from the one before it, and that will give you a stronger memory of what the levels are. And this is on your homework. Okay, here we go. Dona semne dambo dani panini nepa gin ring tung yula. What distinguishes level 1 from level 2 is the length of your fixation on the object. How long can you stay on the object? The only difference between level 1 and level 2, well, the main difference is that in level 2, your mind is on the object a little bit longer than at level 1. Okay? How will you know that you got to level 2? There'll be a little more continuity. Okay? There'll be a few minutes of continuity. What differentiates the third level from the second is the length of your distractedness. The sustained, what do you call it? The length at which you can have a sustained distraction becomes what? Less. Okay, good. Yeah. You'll know you got to 3 from 2 if the time that you are thinking about lunch gets less. But it's still there. And it's still sustained. But it's shorter than it was before. Sumba shipa nini mikten shor simi sipi kepa yor. What separates level 4 from level 3 is whether or not you are even capable of losing the object anymore. At 4, you are not capable of losing the object completely. At 3, you are still capable of losing the object completely. So how do you know that you reach 4? Yeah, you don't lose the object. When you don't lose the object anymore, when it becomes impossible for you to lose the object during the meditation session, you have reached level 4. Shiva da Nabani, Chima Rabba Kemi Keng. What differentiates 5 from 4 is whether or not you can still get gross forms of dullness. Right? If you can honestly say, I don't get gross forms of dullness. And how did he describe gross forms of dullness? Like you feel like you're going to fall asleep. You feel heavy. The mind and body feel heavy and you feel like you could fall asleep. If you reach a stage in your meditations where you never ever feel like you're going to fall asleep, okay? Then you have reached that level 5. Okay. Lapa dandrupa nini chiwa chamo la toksen gup mi gup. What separates 5 from 6 is whether or not you have to worry a lot about getting subtle dullness. Right? What separates 5 from 6 is whether or not you have to worry about a lot about getting subtle dullness. This is all just words now, okay? I'm just, you know, telling you words. In January, we explore the real thing, you know? We say, we'll do like meditation, so we'll say, did you lose the object today? Did you lose the object in the last 5 minutes? You know? Or are you getting dull right now? And like that. We'll do it experientially. I'm planting a seed. I'm planting a crop which I'm going to reap in January. Okay? I'm just planting seeds. And then I want you here in January, and then we're going to bear fruits, right? It's going to bear fruit. Okay. As Allison would say. Dharma se chupar gopa chamo kewa ang lama le nyungo. He adds another qualifier to level 6. You will also get less subtle restlessness than you got before. Drupa dan drupa nini. What's the difference between level 7 and 6? Okay. Chinga chamo shor nyanki tok sun chamo go mi go dan. Is there any serious possibility that you will get, that you will fall into subtle dullness or subtle restlessness? Dan. Okay, by the way, I'm a little bit dissatisfied with that, right? I mean, if you look at the difference between 6 and 5 and 7 and 6, the difference between his descriptions is not so clear. He's going to come back later and he's aware of that, all right? Just so you know. He's coming back later to make some more comments on it. Because it's not, even for me to teach it, it's uncomfortable. I don't see a big difference between them, okay? Dumba dan yeba ni chinga yeme dan. The difference between 7 and 8 is whether or not you have any dullness or any restlessness at all. Okay. The difference between 8 and 9 is, you know what? Do you have to make the slightest effort to go into deep meditation? Do you even have to collect your thoughts? You know, do you have to say, I'm going to meditate now? Like that. No, you just boom, you're in. All right? Now he qualifies the 7. The thing about level 7. Dumbe kap chinga gop tsam le, der shor top ki nyen cher che mi gula. At the 7th level, you're just shutting down dullness and restlessness, but there's no great need to be overly concerned during the session. You shut it down. But you don't have to be very, what do you call it? Vigilant, like that. He calls it concern. You don't have to have any great worry that they're going to come. They come a little bit and you shut them down. But it's not like you have to think, oh, I'm at risk of those happening. You don't feel at risk of them happening. They happen slightly and you shut them down, but you don't have to have a sense of being at risk for them, okay? Gula, Perna, Jada, Tabna, De Tok Shend, Tang Sinne, Tok Sun Cherami Gupar. When you are in a boxing match, okay?
and the other guy is tuckered out completely, then you can let your guard down. You know, like you don't have to be like, because a guy who's not tired out yet, he can still throw a lucky punch in Florida, right? Like there's a thing in boxing where you have to stay aware of, you just have to constantly stay aware, even if you're a superior boxer, because the other guy could just get one lucky punch in and knock you out, right? But at stage seven, he's so tired out that you don't have to look for the lucky punch. You don't have to worry that dullness or restlessness is gonna be able to sock you a good one when you're not looking. All right? You don't have to be looking out so carefully. Got it? Okay. Devto shinin tsen mi gupa. Katsange. Chen chen mi gupa. Katsange chopa shin. Yimba sung. Then you just stop them. You punch them. You know? If the guy makes some kind of, you know, he's totally exhausted. You've got him beat. And he's like, he goes back for a punch and then you just, you know, like it's no big match at that point, you know. If he decides to try to throw a punch, he's going to be really slow, you know, and then you just go, you know, like that. No great need to be very vigilant about a powerful punch being thrown at you by dullness or restlessness. Right? That would be a good place to stop in the text and give you a break, but I don't care. This is cool. Those of you who have purchased the English translation of the book, which is well done, all right? We're not trying to make money. We're just, we got it on consignment and we're selling it to you for what we buy it, I think, right? So we're not making a penny on it. It's good to have the book, okay? It's good to take the book home with you and have it. If you get the book, be aware that everything we've done in the whole week is a single day from Pabongkor Rinpoche's teaching. Okay? That was day 21 out of 24. All right? Like, he was moving. All right? No, they had 12, 14-hour sessions. And they're brutal. Especially if they have to pee-pee. Okay. So now we're on day 22. We are starting day 22 of the record of Pabongkor Rinpoche's teaching by Chichen Rinpoche, the tutor of the current Dalai Lama, and my heart Lama's heart Lama. Okay? Here we go. GK Du, Belmen Dawa Drape Sule. He started his talks with announcements, and then somebody hit you up for some project or some money. And then he quoted Master Chandakirti. Okay? He quotes Master Chandakirti. Because in day 22, he's going to move from what to what? He's going to finish how to meditate deeply, and then he's going to tell you how to use that meditation, how to apply that meditation. What are you going to use that meditation for? Okay? Pyaadan dawa drape sungde, kunzab deni shoyang ka po gingyo pe, nambe gya po deni ke wo ngamba yi, dun dun dane ge we nungi shutop ki, gya we yin dun gya tse taro cho dun ro. This is a famous quotation, okay? A bird needs two wings, okay? A bird needs two wings. Shokyang means widespreading, powerful wings. Karpo means they are white, widespreading wings. You know, like the kind the angel wraps around you from the back. Gyurpe, they are spread wide. And those are, he calls them, let me get it straight. He calls them the apparent and the real. The apparent and the real. And he doesn't say anything more about them. Ngambe gyabo, deni kewo ngamba yi. Thus does the king of all geese fly ahead of the flock of the other geese, meaning bodhisattvas. Dundu dane, he or she flies at the front of the V, right? Dane, gewe lungi shuktopki, and with the power of their goodness, They travel to the other side of the vast ocean of the qualities of an enlightened being. Meaning they gather into themselves all the qualities of an enlightened being. They go from, what's that place? Starts with the Venice beach to Osaka. Okay? They cross the ocean. Meaning they collect all the good, the vast good qualities of an enlightened being.
She Sumbatar Kunsantar Dundabi Chanchiki Samyi.
The apparent or the deceptive and the real or the ultimate, he says, as referring to the wish for enlightenment. It is referring to the wish for enlightenment. Okay? A wish that all living creatures in many worlds, all worlds, could become enlightened and escape their suffering, we call the deceptive form or the apparent form of their wish for enlightenment. Right? It is still wrapped up in the deceptive world. Right? It is still on the level of the world around us, which is fooling us. Right? And then there's a higher form of that mind, which is called Dundam Changchukki Sem. Say Dundam
Changchukki
Sem. Which they call the ultimate form of the wish for enlightenment. The ultimate form of the wish for enlightenment. And that is, it's just another word for the direct perception of emptiness. Right? It's just another word. The ultimate form of the wish for enlightenment is just another expression for seeing emptiness directly. Right? We talked about it the other night, I think, right? You need both wings. The most lovely bird you could imagine, but if they had one wing cut off, they would just flop on the ground. We had what do you call it? Last time we went to Sanpanja, there was a, what was that thing? A pelican. There was a pelican. And apparently he had broken a wing or something. And he was flopping around the beach. And the local people were going to kill him. And then one of the students in the class, he said, one of the students in the class said, I'm going to take care of the pelican. You know? So the whole 6 day, 7 day teaching, he took care of the pelican. And the pelican bit him countless times. And he was running around his room and he had to clean up these huge poops from his room. And then the last day, it was cute because the last day he said, well, I got to leave. I got to go back to America. And he paid some Mexican person to keep the pelican. And he handed the pelican to the Mexican person and the pelican flew away. On the handoff, he flew away. So I guess it was just strange or something. But to have a single wing, it's no use for a bird. You know, he will die. He can't eat, he can't do anything, right? So if you do good deeds, if you try to help, if you try to save the world without understanding where the world is coming from, you are like a bird with one wing. You are as ineffective as a bird with one wing. If you try to save the world without knowing where the world has really come from, you are like a bird with one wing. You can also read this two wings as sunam. You know, we say sunam yeshi nechu wei dabukunito pasha. The two kinds of collections of good karma. Okay. One, which is a collection of merit and a collection of wisdom. Niki gole, gyawe sar dupar chepa. If you want to save the world, and if you have the understanding which will give you the capacity to save the world, then you become an enlightened being. Both ways. De David su tu gupa soki sung she ranga mundur chu she dor du dang. Then Pabok Rinpoche, because he was starting a new day of his teaching, he reviewed the need for learning, formal instruction in these things. He reviewed the need to study. He reviewed the need to do the preliminary practices, which you will learn, okay?
This book is one of the best books ever written on the preliminary practices. How to prepare the mind for meditation. He gave a summary of what he had taught in the previous days. And he brought everybody up on the outline, how far they had gone in the steps to enlightenment. Oh, we covered that, we covered that, we covered that, we covered that. Shinela lotuki tsoktem bangwa am duktang. Jutsu nguki nyepa ngai nyambo duche gekten tsoktang. He reviewed the conditions that you would have to gather together to start your study of shamatha, your practice of shamatha. Jutsu nguki, and he said you could call it either five or six conditions. Is that correct? He said you could call it either five or six conditions. Is that correct? Yeah, because there's six, but there's five in the first. We all right? Am I right? Say yes, you can go on. Okay. You'll have a three-year retreat to work it out. Jutsu Muki, then he went into the actual details about how to reach shamatha, as opposed to the conditions you have to get ready before you sit down. Nyepa ngai nyambo duche ge kenso. He described to us once again the five problems and the eight fixes for them. Dela tene semne go. Then he described how you go through nine levels as you go through the process of applying the eight antidotes to the five problems. Good? Are we alright? Juplu nam. Kyashe nam. Kyashe nam means he repeated these subjects for us. He repeated those instructions for us. Shifa de topjuki juplu ni. So there are, you'll get used to this later, okay? There are five problems. There are eight antidotes for them. There are nine levels of concentration that meditation that you go through. And now he's going to talk about, he's just summarizing, okay? Six powers or six forces that support moving through the 11 levels. It's nine levels, sorry. They talk to you, do you need? There are six powers that you're using, forces. Semne dhammo tepe to. You get to the first of the nine levels through the power of tepa. Tepa means formal education in how to meditate. Right? Hearing from your lama the instructions for how to meditate. So that the force that you use to get to level number one is just education, spiritual education in how to meditate. Okay? Nipa sabeto. You reach the second level of meditation, which is what? Keeping the object and the mind with some continuity, some brief continuity. That's achieved through sampa. Sampa means careful consideration of what you heard in class. Going home and thinking about what you learned in class. That's the second of the six traditional powers. Sumbada shipa ni dhamma. You get to keeping the mind on the object with patches where you lose the object, and you get to maintaining the mind tightly on the object through the power of your ability to hold the object, right? We're calling it awareness. Napa trupa ni sheshin. The levels called controlling the mind and quieting the mind are accomplished through the power of your watchdog mind, your watchfulness. Dhamma dangeba ni tsundru. The seventh and eighth levels are accomplished through the power of making some effort, applying some effort. And then level number nine is accomplished only by, what do you call it? Habituation or familiarity with what you were doing at level eight. Right? Getting used to level eight takes you to level nine. We'll give it up there. Shepa na semnegu soso katsu shesin. I talked in detail. These are just summaries of what I already taught you in detail yesterday. Pabong Kurpati. Napa de la yiche shi yutsuni. Then there are four sorts of modes in which the mind
goes through these levels, right? These are called the four modes of the mind. Semne, Dhamboni, Dhunde, Jupa, Dham. In the first two of the nine levels, they are accomplished through some kind of purposeful concentration of the mind. It feels like purposeful concentration of the mind. Parvana Chechin Jupa. Level 3 to level 7, right? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Five intermediate stages from 3 to 7, including 7. They feel like you're flowing but with interruptions. They feel like flow but with interruptions. Like you keep getting phone calls when you're trying to talk to somebody or something like that. Which is, what do you call it? It's debilitating, right? It's exhausting. You're trying to concentrate and someone's interrupting you. And that's, the level 3 to level 7 is unpleasant in that sense. Your meditation is, somebody's constantly, what do you call it? Tapping you on the shoulder and getting you drowsy or getting you distracted, right? Yepani, tsuoda chepa te, chepa mepa jupa. At the eighth level, you are making some effort to be there, but there's nobody interrupting you. Okay? It's a flow without interruption, but with effort. Ningupa is a flow without interruption, which is spontaneous and has no interruption. Alright? Got it? Deyang Semne Dambo Danipa Niki Kap. Chinga, she checho, she checing, tingenzin, yunshe le ni onwe, chinga ki, tingzingi, pardu chirmi chuki, tane jo rin. This is a joke, okay? What's the feeling you have from levels 3 to 7? Interrupted. You're trying to concentrate and somebody's interrupting you, right? Why doesn't that apply to level 1 and level 2? There's no flow to interrupt. Okay? Got it? That's what he's making a joke. Like, level 1 and level 2, there's not enough moments of meditation to say you were interrupted. Okay. Parvanai kapchen she jimmi gopa minkyan tinginzin na nipa rindi jeje song shin chinga ki paru chukin chukin jupina chechin jupa. What is it that characterizes the eighth meditation level? What was the feeling? What did he say? Huh? Yeah, was it? Oh, no, I'm sorry. How did he describe the first two levels? What did he say the feeling was? Dhunde jupa. You had to concentrate. You had to focus. You had to gather your thoughts. You feel like you have to gather your thoughts. Like you want to make a call, an important call. You have to call British Airways today, or you're calling Argentina for an interview. And you don't just pick up the phone. You sit there for a few minutes and you think about what you're going to say and like that. You gather your thoughts. Okay? Is it the case that from level 3 to level 7 you never gather your thoughts? Right. So the question comes, why did we call that gathering your thoughts also? Why did we call level 3 to level 7 you're trying to concentrate and you keep getting interrupted? Got it? He's going both ways. Is it the case that you don't have any dullness and restlessness at the first two levels? It's not the case. But they are defined as interruptions to a flow of meditation. And there's no flow of meditation in the first level. It's not that you don't have them. It's just that you have so little meditation, we can't say it's interrupted by them. Right? Then the opposite is also true. It's not that you don't gather your thoughts at levels 3 through 7. You do. As you do at levels 1 and 2. But, why? Shake me gupa mingyang, jingin zin na nepa rindi jeche song shing, Chingaki paru chuki chukin chukin jupina chechin jupa. It's just that you do have a flow of meditation in levels 3 to 7. And you are chicken chicken. Say chicken chicken. It's not chicken chicken, Okay. Chikin, chikin means, those of you who are learning Tibetan, K-Y-I-N, kin, repeated means constantly. Okay. Chikin, chikin. He's always doing that. Chikin, chikin. Che means to do, right? Chikin, chikin. He keeps doing that. It's sort of a bothered tone. Chikin, chikin. They are interrupting. Chikin, chikin. They keep bugging you. They keep interrupting you. So we call levels 3 to 7, the feeling of them is that you have a flow, but someone keeps interrupting you. And it's exhausting. Gebe kap tungi gor nimba bezo chungse na tene chinga ki ma chepa tung kyongbe chemed jupa. The feeling at number 8 is that you are engaging in the object with no interruptions. You have a flow with no interruptions. Tung kyong means you can maintain the entire session without an interruption. And you are not interrupted by dullness and restlessness. Gupa tsu meddu mikpa jokpe tsungi drupa jokpa. The feeling at the level 9 is called spontaneous engagement in the object. Okay? Just spontaneous meditation. Drupa. Tsungi drupa. Mikpa la jokpa. Now comes an interesting section, okay? What time we got? I'll start it with you and we probably won't finish it till the evening, right? Here begins an interesting section. I said that level number 9 was not shamatha. Level number 9, the highest of these 9 levels, is still not enough to see emptiness. You have to go further. You need level 9 plus enhancements. What do you call it? What do the athletes use if they're not supposed to? Level 9 with steroids is shamatha. Alright? So what are the steroids? What do you have to add to level 9 to see emptiness with that state of mind? Okay. What's missing? I mean, that should be rather disturbing, right? Yeah. Oh, you know, you just took us through like 5 days of these levels and now you say I get to level 9 and I still can't see emptiness. Right? The mind is still not fit enough to see emptiness at level 9. What else? What more you want from me? What more do you want from me? Semne grupa tobne. Once you reach the 9th level, chinga chamo dan chawar, you are free of subtle dullness and subtle restlessness. Dingin zen la beme do yingring ne tupa. You can stay in a deep state of meditation without any kind of, what do you call it, effort. Effortlessly. Yunring means for a long time. Okay. Yunring. Naang. Naang means bad. Naang. Shine je tumba le mu min. That's only an approximation of shamatha. It is not actual shamatha. Right? It's only close to shamatha, but it's not real shamatha. So here's the crux of the point, right? Here's the crux of the point. How do we move from 9 to real shamatha? What do we have to do? What more do you want from me? He says, if you want the real thing, you gotta go back to your practice and keep getting a greater familiarity with it. You gotta keep at level 9, stay at level 9, and get more and more accustomed to level 9. Fluent in number 9. Deepar chepe, lusem shinjangi gade kepa chen topka. You need shinjang. Say shinjang.
Shinjang.
Say shintu jawa.
Shintu jawa.
If you're in the monastery and you want to say somebody's a real, I almost said asshole, okay? And you say, like you come home and you're really upset at them, and you don't say he's gyapasakan, which means an eater of certain substances, okay? I saw the Dalai Lama in Tucson, you know, and he has this Oxford-trained translator, right? And And the Dalai Lama said, you know, people bug you, you have to be patient, you know? And then they bug you again and you have to be patient, you know? And they bug you one more time, you've got to keep your patience. But if they bug you after that, tell them they're a kyakpa sake, which means a poop eater. But he didn't say poop. And then the translator was like... And then he said, you know, you can try to repeat your patience and then you can express your displeasure. His Holiness is really, really funny. In Tibet, he's a riot. In Tibet, he's a riot. Thank you. Luckily, he has this. Okay. So, why did I mention that? Xinjiang. So, if a guy comes, if you're really upset at somebody, you don't just call them a bad name, you say Xindu. Xindu means unbelievably X. Xindu means like indescribably stupid. Xindu Kupa. You know, he's not just dumb, he's Xindu Kupa. He's like, super kupa, super dumb, all right? Shindu means, jiang means, get this, okay? This is difficult. It's very hard to describe xinjiang. Okay? Xinjiang is very difficult to describe. Jiang means you're good at it. When Rinpoche got to explain in xinjiang, the only way he described it, he used to love to watch the Olympics, you know? He made me sit and watch the Olympics with him over and over, you know? Too many Olympics, right? But he would love the gymnasts. And xinjiang means that agility, okay? Which results from frequent practice. Not just frequent, but constant practice. The agility of an Olympic gymnast is xinjiang, okay? But it's divided into physical and mental. It's divided into physical agility and mental agility. And then it's also tempered by the idea of great pleasure. Okay? It feels really good. Mentally and physically, you feel high. Right? You're extremely agile, strong, practiced, very good at what you do, extremely good at meditating. Right? And then you get this kind of pleasure. It feels good, like someone who's really good at yoga. Then it just, you get into a pose and you're listening to Lady Ruth do yoga is funny because she's constantly going, ah, you know, she gets into a really hard pose and she's like, ah, you know, like she's having, you know, really good time in the pose, okay? So it's the same with meditation. What will take you from level 9 to shamatha is an intense pleasure, physical and mental, in the process of meditating. And it can only come through constant practice. By definition, it is a result of constant, devoted effort to meditate. And then you will reach high levels of pleasure. People who, you know, go to a Dharma Mitra class or something, yoga class, and it's very difficult. But there are some people there, not me, who are really enjoying it, you know. They are really in a zone, you know. Like they're having a really good time when he forces them to do strange things. And that's xinjiang, okay? They're so good at it that the most difficult poses become highly pleasurable to them. So that's xinjiang. And it can be mental, and it's mental and it's bodily. When you sit down to meditate, physically, you feel extreme pleasure in your body. Your body is tingling. Your back is just automatically in a groove. You sit down, your knees lay down. Your legs can still fall asleep, okay? There's still some tingling, there's still some problem. But you just feel extremely pleasurable to sit on your meditation cushion. And you feel light as a feather. Your body feels light and extremely strong, and you just attack your meditation. That's xinjiang, physical. Then mentally, you just feel like you are really deeply engrossed in your favorite song. That's one thing to be engrossed, right? It's one thing to be enveloped in your favorite song. It's something else to feel blissful about that. See, you feel blissful while you're engrossed in your favorite song. The concentration, 5 minutes of that concentration is like an hour of sleep. You come out and you feel so refreshed and happy. Okay? It's very, very pleasurable to be able to concentrate. And then when someone's interrupting you, it's almost like someone's depriving you of sleep. You see? There's a resistance to that interruption, as if you were in a deep sleep. You don't want someone to interrupt you. You see what I mean? But once your concentration gets good, the interruption doesn't hurt you. Someone can, you can sit there if you have really good concentration, someone can interrupt you every 5 minutes and it doesn't really affect you. That's beyond that. Sam Shinjang Gawa De Kempo Chentop Golan. You must get to Xinjiang. You must get to Xinjiang. What are we going to call it? I used to translate it as practiced ease, but that's kind of corny. You have to imply that it comes from constant practice. You have to imply that it involves agility, skill, and you have to imply that it involves bliss. So I don't know of a good word. Meditation bliss or something. How about mastery? See, mastery doesn't imply the bliss part. Let's call it bliss meditation. I don't know. Anyway, Deyang Xinjiang Nile, there are two forms of Xinjiang, okay? There are two forms of meditation, meditative bliss, okay? I don't know what you want to call it. Sam Xinjiang Nun, you get physical and you get mental. Which do you think comes first? They say mental. Okay. He says the mental one comes first. Mundan. Dewa nile lu. The being skilled at meditation comes to what first? Let's put it that way. The skilled part comes to what first? Your body or your mind? Your mind. Okay? But the bliss part comes first. Where first? Then they say your body. You see? The skill part comes to your mind first. The bliss part comes to your body first. Alright? By becoming skilled in meditation mentally, that triggers a bodily reaction. Then that bodily reaction creates a mental bliss. Alright? Like it's a three-part flow. Dewa ni le lu shi jin. Deyang lu ki. Nengen nengki lu shiwe nyam chen go la nyam, sorry, de nyam chen go la an le pa chi pemba tawa shi ta sha shula lakpa tsamu repa tawa shi ju. I'm going to do this one because it's a little technical and we're in the mood and then we'll stop, okay? He's describing the question that Teddy had the other day. Teddy was describing a heavy feeling in the top of his head. And well, how does that relate to meditation and what should I, you know? And that's an important sensation during meditation because it is an indicator of the movement of certain prana. So here's a rare case where outside of Tantra, he's discussing prana. So, Prabhupada Rinpoche goes into a description of the movements of prana triggered by deep concentration. So, pranic energy, inner energy, is moving through your body triggered by deep states of meditation, right? They are looking, Nengen Len is an extremely difficult word and an extremely difficult concept. Say ne,
ne,
ngen, len,
ne,
ngen, len. Extremely difficult idea. Okay, it refers to extremely subtle seeds for negative states of mind. That there are even discussions whether arhats still have them. Right? So arhats, someone who's reached nirvana, traditionally is defined as someone who has permanently ended their mental afflictions. They cannot get angry again in their life. It's not possible. Okay? They cannot get jealous again. They cannot have desire again. It's not possible. They have reached nirvana. There are discussions whether or not they still have very, very, very deep seeds for a relapse. And that's called nen nyen len. Nen means condition, nyen means bad, len means take it. Nen nyen len means to take on a bad condition, but the whole word refers to extremely subtle and deep-seated seeds that could cause a relapse even in a person who's reached nirvana. So there's discussions about these seeds. Nen len gi lung. And then there are pranas related to those seeds. Right? There are movements of wind in the body which are related to deep-seated, extremely deep-seated tendencies toward negativity, mental or physical. Right? So there are pranas which relate to those seeds that move in the body. Nengen len shiwa. At certain states of meditation, the pranas which are related to deep-seated tendencies towards any kind of negativity are blocked by the deep meditation. Deep meditation blocks the movement of prana that is related to deep-seated tendencies toward negativity. Okay? A very deep states of meditation can prevent the movement of negative prana in the body altogether. Right? Tendencies, deep-seated tendencies, not, what do you call it? Manifest negativity. Even deep-seated seeds, tendencies can move on prana, but those are blocked by high states of meditation. Shiwe. Denyam chen. Then you get, that's what's happening in Xinjiang, okay? That's what he's describing. Why do you feel high? Why do you feel, what do you call it? In the groove. In the zone. This is in the zone. Xinjiang means in the zone. Why do you suddenly feel in the zone? What's happening? He says it all goes down to your inner body. It all boils down to your inner body. The prana, which is linked to the deepest tendencies towards negativity in the human being, is stopped. Right? That prana is stopped. Shiwe nyam chen. Then you get this blissful reaction. Because you have been plagued by those negative winds for your whole lives. Billions of years you've had subtle movements of thought in your being which were disturbing and harmful to your health and to your life. Right? And then suddenly those are blocked. You don't have a single movement of prana within your body of a negative nature anymore at all. And then you suddenly feel, you've been banging your head against the wall for billions of years, and then suddenly you stop. And then Xinjiang. Okay, wow, that feels good. Xinjiang. Nyamcheng. Go along. He says, even the top of your skull, you will get some kind of indication. The upper part of your head. Okay, go along. Lepa chi bemba. Lepa chi bemba. Lepa chi bemba means, and this is a very difficult subject, and it takes a lot of personal experience. And you have to be at a high level of meditation to even get it, right? But there, some heat collects here at the top of the head. And there, even physically, you get some change in your appearance. and then heat collects here, and then there's a feeling of, I don't know. The other day, my boss was asking me to fix the knobs on drawers, on some drawers. And they had a whole set of knobs they had bought 5 years ago, and no one had put them in. And I found out why. Everyone was a different length. You know, every drawer was a different screw. I had to go to, what's that, Home Depot, and buy 12 different sizes of screws to fix it, you know? And then, but then they were very high quality handles. They were knobs, but they had poured lead into the middle of them, and they had substance, you know? And when you open the drawer, it feels different. It has some kind of, you know what I mean? Weight to it. So that's your head feels like that. The upper part of your head, there's some inner heat, there are physical reactions that happen to your head, and then it just feels like it's encased heavy. And then the scripture says, Deva Mimba Mayimba. It's not an unpleasant heaviness. It's a kind of a pleasant concentration of energy in the top of your head. Okay? Lepa Chibemba Tabushe. And then he gives an example to explain what it feels like. In the monastery, you are always, one of the main things to do when you're bored is to shave each other's head. Okay? Because you constantly have to shave your head in the monastery. So, you know, they don't have electric shavers. Somebody has to sit there carefully and with a straight razor and shave your head. And it's kind of like a day off. It's like going to the beautician. Say, you know, today there's no debate today. Let's do trash time. I'll do you, you do me. You know? And you sit there and it's kind of pleasant, you know, except in the winter. Okay? And then it feels cold. You know, they put the they splash water on your head and they start shaving. And if it's cold outside, it feels uncomfortable. For some reason, they do it outside. I don't know why. Maybe it's less mess. People do it outside their meditation cell for each other. But then sometimes what the guy will do, they'll make a little fire, and the guy will he'll heat his hands, and then he'll shave your head. And he'll keep heating his hands on the fire, and then they go, hua, and you're supposed to go, hua, you know, and then they kind of hold their hands on your head. Sometimes they take a stone, like it looks like lava stone or something, and they heat that in the fire, and then they hold it for a while, and then they put their hands on your head, and it feels like, wow, you know, like you get some reaction. Okay, that's how it feels when the prana changes in the upper part of your head through concentrating. Okay? That's what it feels like. Shala lapat sama repa tabashichu dema tak sem nyomombe choksu kyurne gewala kang dhudu kut miruma nengen nen shine sem shinjang ke. You will reach right after that a point where there's a resistance, right? If there's any resistance of the mind towards doing good things, right? Like somebody says, let's go to, I used to say, let's go to a movie, and everybody say, yeah. And I'd say, it's going to be $18. And they're all like, yeah, but it's Star Trek, the new Star Trek movie, or what was the other thing? What was the Princess Leia thing? Star Wars. You know, we were like in New York, and somebody said, hey, John Stilwell can get everybody tickets to the opening night of the new Star Wars movie, right? And everybody plopped down $50 like that. You know, suddenly everybody had $50. And then we were like, could we have a donation for the readers, you know? $6. And everybody's like, so this resistance that you have to do a good deed, right? The resistance that you have to doing something nice. See, he's describing nengen lemba as that. Subtle resistances to doing goodness. Okay? Subtle resistances to doing goodness where you are unable to rouse yourself to the goodness. Kul minruma means you are unable to... Kul means what you do to an Indian bullock when you want him to turn. You like whack him up with a stick, right? That's called kulwa. How would you say that in English? Urge is too soft. Prod is good. Okay?
Due to your subtle resistances to doing goodness, it's difficult to prime your mind.
Okay.
But at this point, because the pranas which resist have been pacified, subdued, those pranas have been shut down. Then suddenly, you can do anything with your mind that you want to, and that feels great. Your mind is under your complete control. Your mind is your slave, instead of a wild animal. And it feels good. It feels great. You feel high. Oh, I could do anything.
Okay.
신장케, same 신장케. Then you feel mentally, you feel in control of your mind. 신장, mental 신장. 대추 루 신장 덴베 루 레루 루라 캬버. Because of the shutting down of the prana, which is linked to subtle negativities, right? Another kind of prana rises in the body. A different kind of prana rises in the body. What is that? They call it the lerung lung, the lerung wind. Okay? What's lerung usually mean? It means a tantric retreat where you spend 1 month doing mantras, right? It's called a lerung. But what does the word literally mean? It means you are fit to do, you know, like if you're supposed to go play baseball. You know, somebody said on Saturday we're gonna play baseball. You have to be fit. You have to have a glove, you have to have the right shoes, and your body has to be, you know, that you're not gonna have a heart attack running down to first base. Okay? So, you know, you work out and you get in shape to play a baseball game, then you are lerung. Lerung means you are in shape to do that thing. Lesuruma, fit for work. Lesuruma means fit for work. So there are Nengen Len Prana and there's Lesurung Prana. Lerung Prana. Okay? Lerung Prana. So a different kind of prana arises in your body, which makes you very fit, strong, clear, excited, engaged. Right? That different prana, lula kyap. Lula kyap means what? Lula kyap. It covers the whole body. It pervades the entire body. This new prana, I can do anything prana, spreads throughout the whole body. Gyupe, run. Gyu means it courses throughout the body. Luki, nengen, lendon, deme. Then that prevents you from ever having that negative prana again. Chame, lu gewe chawa la, semnang mepar, jin du du. I gotta look up something. Yeah. Semnang mepar, jin du du kun nupa. Semnang mepar means, you are happy to undertake any virtuous thing without any, what do you call it? Shumba means kind of not up for it, right? Without being not up for it. Shingda shin yangwei lu shinjangke. And then suddenly your body feels like a feather. They say like cotton, like a wisp of cotton in the wind. Your body feels light. If you do yoga well, you don't have to go crazy. I mean, the point is not that you can do a handstand. The point is that your body feels like a wisp of cotton during deep meditation. And then that's the reason to do yoga, right? So, your body feels light, strong, fit, and you sit down in meditation. From this practiced feeling of the body and lightness of the body, suddenly, you get a bliss, okay? What do you call it? You get like jolts, not jolts. You get, it's like a euphoria, but it's physical, okay? Yeah, endomorphin rush in the body, okay? It's not just tingle. It's like a feeling of bliss, ecstatic, physical bliss. Near orgasm. All right. It feels like really light, strong, and turned on the body.
Dadu nyamba sharte ranula sope no washayam kayam me charwa lu kyang mitten la tim nyam chengi sem shinjang.
From that you get mental shinjang, okay? Where it feels like you are sinking into the object. So that's the first time he's mentioned that feeling. Somebody mentioned it with their teacher, where you're sinking into the object. You feel like you are lost in the object. And you don't get any other perceptions coming up in your mind. Okay? You're not even aware of your body. You're not even aware of your body. You're not aware of your body anymore. And your mind feels like you have sunk into the object. You don't feel separate from the object anymore. And then you get this really happiness as opposed to physical bliss. So first comes physical bliss, and then comes an emotion of deep happiness, deep pleasure. We're almost done, okay? I just don't know where to stop in all this pleasure. Maybe we stop there. I'll go one more line, then we'll pick it up in the middle of the bliss, okay? Nikpat name itipatabachu. And then you get kind of a, what do you call it? Paradox? What do you call it when there's a problem? Dilemma. Who said dilemma? That's good, yeah. Then you get sort of a dilemma. Have you lost the object? Yeah, because you're sunk into the object, right? You sink into the object, and then you feel like, where'd the object go? Okay? Because it doesn't feel like it's out there anymore. It feels like you're in it. It feels like you're sunk into the object. And then you might get a little weird feeling at that moment that maybe I lost the object. But you're in the object. All right? Okay? We'll stop there. Ningbo, it's page 360b, third line. Okay. He's about to get to shamatha. And you can feel it, right? You're close to shamatha.